In interviews last week from Tehran, Iran, the BBC's Lise Doucette, reporting with special permission and with the proviso that her work not air on a BBC Persian subsidiary, gathered voices from the street. She asked one woman to describe how she felt days after the U.S. bombing of strategic Iranian sites in the early hours of June 22nd, following attacks by Israel that had touched the capital city. Angry? Doucette asked. Scared? The woman paused before settling in accented English on sad. Universal human yearnings for security, for freedom, bubble up when conflict shakes the status quo. What might it bring? Iranians living abroad, many of them in exile, face an extra level of complexity. From Berlin and Paris, two of our writers explore perspectives from the Iranian diaspora. It's Monday, June 30th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Clay Collins. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com. Washington and Beijing signed a trade agreement. It will make it easier for American firms to obtain magnets and rare earth minerals from China that are critical to manufacturing and microchip production. The agreement, announced Friday by U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, comes after China had retaliated against steep import tariffs imposed by President Donald Trump's administration on Chinese goods by slowing export of rare earth minerals and magnets. Mr. Bessent called the deal a de-escalation of trade tensions. President Trump said he is suspending trade talks with Canada. Mr. Trump said Friday in a post on his social media network that Canada had just informed the United States it was keeping its plan to impose its tax on technology firms set to take effect Monday. The digital services tax will hit companies like Amazon, Google, Meta, Uber, and Airbnb with a 3% levy on revenue from Canadian users. It will apply retroactively, leaving U.S. companies with a $2 billion U.S. bill at the end of the month. Also, Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of Congo signed a U.S.-brokered peace agreement. The Friday agreement marks a breakthrough in talks held by the Trump administration and aims to attract Western investment to a region rich in minerals. The two African countries' foreign ministers signed the agreement in Washington that would see Rwandan troops withdraw from eastern Congo within 90 days, according to a version seen by Reuters. Kinshasa and Kigali will also launch a regional economic integration framework. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. The U.S. Supreme Court on Friday sided with the Trump administration, limiting the power of federal judges to issue nationwide procedural rulings. To supporters, the decision represents a common-sense effort to dial back the nationwide injunctions and judge shopping that both parties have decried in recent years. For critics, it erodes constitutional protections and presents an existential threat to the rule of law, as the dissenting justices put it. The court also greenlit a Trump policy that seeks to change who can be born American. Sarah Matusik and Henry Gass report for The Monitor. In another major ruling, the justices held that a group of Maryland parents can opt their children out of curriculum they believe violates their religious beliefs while their legal challenge to the school district continues. Sophie Hills, Jackie Valley, and Henry Gass report for The Monitor. Since the end of the 12-day stretch in which Israel and Iran exchanged blows, word is that life in Tehran is returning to normal. The internet is coming back as residents head home. A ceasefire has held up. But for the nearly 600,000 Iranians living in Europe, many in permanent exile, concerns about loved ones back home have complicated views of the fighting. Many oppose the Iranian government and see the clashes as a prequel to the end of a regime. Others say they have been fooled before and that war is not the answer. That leaves much of the community of Iranians in Europe in a kind of limbo. Colette Davidson and Mark Sappenfield report from Paris and Berlin for The Monitor. Even if they're often on time, most airlines eventually feel the brunt of disgruntled travelers' complaints about cramped seats they had to pay to select, about subpar food that they no longer even get for free. Yukon's half-Indigenous-owned, homegrown airline is the pride of the Canadian territory. Part of why Yukoners love it is that they've helped shape its growth. Our writer trekked to Whitehorse International Airport to take a look inside this local operation with a small company feel. Sarah Miller-Yana reports from Whitehorse, Yukon, for The Monitor. Intrigue and a touch of mystery in a West Virginia hotel bustling with Axis power diplomats and journalists seeking safe passage home during World War II. Murder in the Fiji Islands amid rumors about skulking German sailors during World War I. The first of posthumous duology by Mary Alice Munro, set in the Lowcountry of the American South. Our roundup of the best new titles of June by Monitor reviewers ranges from Gastropods in Peril to William F. Buckley Jr. in his prime. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on A Digital Iron Curtain in Russia. President Vladimir Putin signed a law June 24th that could spell the end of internet freedom in Russia. On the face of it, the law would simply push a new state-controlled app that Russians would need to use for all public services, but it may eventually lead to what Mr. Putin calls a national messenger. That may then allow the government to ban all private internet communications, creating a digital iron curtain. As the war in Ukraine continues to go badly for Mr. Putin, he increasingly seeks to restrict independent news of the conflict, especially news of high troop losses. Last year, he throttled access to YouTube after already banning Facebook, Instagram, and X. With the new platform, he may soon block Russia's leading messenger services, WhatsApp and Telegram. The new app, which may be called Max, will be pre-installed on all new smartphones and tablets sold in Russia starting in September. Such a censorship tactic, similar to that used in China, stands in stark contrast to freedom of speech and media in Ukraine. When the war started in 2022, the government in Kyiv consolidated television coverage to control information about the war. But Ukrainians have since soured on this source and turned to independent news outlets. According to a 2024 survey conducted by the InMind agency, 84% of Ukrainians rely on news primarily through social media. For Ukrainians, freedom is more important than stability. For Russians, stability is more important than freedom. The war is all about this difference, wrote Ukrainian novelist Andrei Kurkov in The Guardian this year. Ours is a rare case in modern times of a country at war not imposing blanket censorship on the press or mass media. Political freedoms remain, and Ukrainian culture is experiencing an active period of development as cultural figures realize that culture is a vital front in this war. Many Russians have fought back against Mr. Putin's attempt to force them to live in an information bubble of his design. Internet censorship has created a movement in the Russian civic sector, as well as among developers abroad, to create grassroots tech initiatives that would oppose the shutdowns and blocking, wrote Daria Dergacheva, a media specialist at the University of Bremen in Germany, in Global Voices. In Ukraine, the war may be won as much by truth-telling as by weapons. Live not by lies, advised the late Russian dissident Alexander Solzhenitsyn a half century ago. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how discovering our true God-derived identity enables us to let go of selfish and immoral motives and behavior. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Ian Case, Jeff Turton, and Tanya Raghu.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2025.